Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, beginning the show by talking with you about a new bandage that could change the future of medicine. And we have the creators with us today. First, Dr. Angela Gibson, an assistant professor of surgery at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Gibson, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, I appreciate it very much. Xudong Wang, a professor of material science, our other guest, I should say material science and engineering at UW-Madison. Professor Wang, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you.
As we visit with these two experts, I hope you'll join in with your own questions. What do you want to know about how the body heals cuts and scrapes? Have you ever have a burn that just wouldn't heal? Tell us about it. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Again, 800-642-1234 or an email to ideas@wpr.org. Xudong, what does this bandage look like?
The bandage will more like a Band-Aid bandage that we can buy from the grocery store. But it includes some component that can generate electricity to help the wound healing.
Dr. Gibson, maybe you could talk a bit more about how this bandage works.
Yeah, so wounds, when a wound is created, the body sets up an electric field to help cells migrate or move across the wound to heal faster. And this bandage actually recreates that by harnessing energy that our body normally makes and turns it into an electric field to enhance that electrical stimulation.
Wow. Well, you work with burn victims as a surgeon, I know. How long does it take for someone to heal from different burns?
Yeah, so burns are what we would consider an acute wound, and acute wounds usually take a couple of weeks to heal in, depending on how deep they are. A very deep burn needs surgery to heal in, and so I would say usually a few weeks, but there are also wounds called chronic wounds, which are due to a variety of different factors, and those can take many months to heal in and sometimes never heal in.
That's awful. How fast can your bandage heal a wound, Xudong?
In our first study on animals like rodents, like a rat, mm-hmm. the wound healing accelerated from 2 weeks into 3 days. Woo. And now, working with Dr. Gibson, and we are trying on human skins. So now I think I will let Dr. Gibson to comment on that.
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Gibson.
Yeah, so on some human skin, we found wound healing in about a week compared to other studies which have shown about 30 days for the type of wound that we created, which was just an excisional wound. And what was really cool about this technology is that it actually reformed normal skin architecture. So sometimes wounds can heal, but they heal by scarring. And what this did was actually reorganize the cells the way they normally should be. And so we were really excited to see those results.
And this sounds almost too good to be true. How would it heal? How would they heal them so that there is no scar?
So I think we don't know the exact mechanism of what's going on. That's part of what we're going to be studying, continuing to study with these great results. But I think what it is enhancing is the body's normal process. And healing is kind of a balance between normal regeneration and inflammation. And what we're finding is that this appears to heal with this regeneration, which heals normally, versus inflammation, which more so has the scarring effect.
Wow. Xudong, how did you and Dr. Gibson go about developing a bandage like this? Explain your part in this research.
I think our collaboration is a natural outcome for this study. Our research mostly focused on the device development, that we can make a device that can be placed on human body or placed inside and to generate electricity for some therapeutic purposes. And with this skin wound healing, so Dr. Gibson will be an excellent collaborator to explore the therapeutic effects.
Oh, and your long-term research has been on, I think, using materials to harvest energy from motion.
That's right.
So that seems, as I'm thinking about this, to play pretty well into this bandage.
Exactly, yeah. There are many types of motions that we can find from a human. And one of the common theme is a pulsation that we can find pretty much everywhere and all the time without any disturbance. So we are trying to focus on that sources and use it as a healing approach.
And so, and Dr. Gibson, maybe you can talk about, you know, sort of your role or your side of this as well.
Yeah, so I think Dr. Wang is being very humble, and you know, this is his device that he developed and continues to be very important in the optimization of how that device can interact with humans. And I was very excited to have him reach out to me, and we can collaborate on this, because what I can bring is how we can make this be a feasible option for our patients. And we need to do a lot of research on what we call basic science type level, but we also need to translate it as we're designing this bandage and looking at its results. We need to make sure that we are designing it for humans and testing it ultimately on humans and making sure that it's safe to do so.
So I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of how this works. Might you have had, or might you have people who would be willing to be cut, for example? And then I try to think of the people.
So, yeah, so that, you know, we could do that. I'm sure we probably have to pay people quite a bit for that. But there are also other, areas of my current clinical practice and my partner's clinical practice where we have patients who have, say, for a burn injury, undergo a donor site, which is an excisional wound. And we could, if we know that this is a safe bandage, which we think it is, we could test that, you know, with informed consent of the patient understanding being involved in human subjects research. And we could test it against our current standard of care. And so there are ways to do that that are within someone's normal wound healing treatment.
We received a listener email, and they're wanting to talk about this new technology and the as it might relate to the treatment of pressure sores or bed sores, which tend to heal very slowly.
Yeah, so that's one of those chronic wounds that I was talking about earlier. And I do think it would be fantastic if we could have some additional treatments to accelerate the healing of these wounds. It's a very multifactorial, but I think that this bandage absolutely could have a benefit in that wound. We're a bit a ways from that. You know, we have to kind of make sure that we get it into very more simple wounds in humans before we try a complex wound like that. But I think that it definitely has the potential for that type of wound.
Talking today with a couple of guests about healing and this new futuristic bandage that they have developed. Xudong Wang, a professor of material science and engineering at UW-Madison, one of our guests. The other, Dr. Angela Gibson, assistant professor of surgery at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. She's also a burn and acute surgeon at UW Health. Join in with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network with our engineer, Trina LaSousa, and our producer, Courtney Everett. Thanks so much for being with us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dr. Angela Gibson, assistant professor of surgery at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. And Professor Xudong Wang, Professor of Materials Science and Engineering at UW-Madison. Questions for them? Join in at 800-642-1234 or email to ideas at WPR.org. And let's take some calls and questions from our listeners. John in Sturgeon Bay will give you a chance. Thanks for calling, John.
Hi, good morning. Fascinating stuff. Say, just a question my wife and I were discussing. How does infection play into this healing process? Because it's always kind of been our understanding that as things close up, maybe sometimes close up too fast, an infection stays inside. And obviously that can cause lots of problems. So if that plays a part in your research.
Yeah, interesting question, John. Thanks for calling. Let's see, Dr. Gibson, maybe go to you for that.
Yeah, so I think in general, we haven't tested this bandage yet in an infected model. However, there are reports of electrical stimulation and this type of technology helping with infection. So I think it's definitely within the realm of possibility.
Excellent. Randy and DePere will go to you. Thank you for calling, Randy.
Good morning for Dr. Gibson. I'm just curious if this bandage is applicable for helping the healing of ulcers caused by the condition of venous stasis.
Yeah, that's one of those chronic wounds that I was talking about earlier, very complex wound that has a lot of reasons to persist. And we are hopeful that we could test this in that type of wound. And I don't know that there's anything to say that it couldn't work in that type of wound. So we would absolutely be hopeful for that. But we're a bit of ways away from that, you know, wanting to start it in very simple wounds in humans first.
And maybe we could talk a little bit more about why is it that some wounds just won't heal?
Yeah, so I think of wounds and why they won't heal. You know, basically there's something underlying usually in a pressure injury or a pressure ulcer. That's pressure that's decreasing blood flow. In an infected wound, it's the bacteria that's fighting. It's basically causing it to be too inflamed, and so it doesn't allow that normal regeneration to happen. In wounds, diabetic foot ulcers, it's the diabetes and the high blood sugar over a long period of time that has damaged all the tissue around that. The venous stasis, it's that poor blood flow that causes too much swelling in the legs and doesn't allow good nutrients to get to that wound to heal. So those are just a smattering of the type of chronic wounds, but there's usually some underlying problem that you have to fix in order to kind of revert it to what we call an acute wound or something that can heal in a normal amount of time.
Randy, thanks again. Appreciate your call very much. Let's take a call from Jack in Milwaukee. Jack, hello.
Hello. The reason I'm calling is I'm kind of curious, with this electric field effect to improve wound healing?
Yeah.
Have you considered actually using it, for example, with patients who are nursing homes and are currently flipped every couple of hours, but they still develop pressure wounds? If you maintain circulation, is this something that can be avoided?
Yeah, I think that's it's an interesting thought. I think we're pretty far from that yet with our research, but the pressure injury thing is absolutely something we spoke about earlier that I think would have a potential utility.
Xudong, you actually published your findings, at least your preliminary findings, in September, but I understand doctors wanted additional testing to be done. Why would that be?
Because as Dr. Gibson just mentioned, that we do need to know more about what exactly happened in the human tissue, and what this fundamental understanding is, well, help us to move from a simple acute wound towards a more chronic and harder to heal wound. So that's the direction that we are trying to go.
I'm wondering if let's say you had somebody with two sores or two wounds in different spots. Would a test be using a standard bandage on one of them and your futuristic bandage on the other?
Yeah, we could definitely do that. You know, we also sometimes just split a wound in half and do the treatment to half of the wound versus the other half, so we can see right in that area.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that, but you'd think there might be some carryover from the good bandage or the better bandage to the other bandage, the other side. So I hadn't thought of it that way. But anyway, Marty in West Bend, we'll go to you. Hi, Marty.
Hi. My question was about surgical sites and when they put a graft on it, if there are issues with grafts that keep failing, would this possibly help in a situation like that?
Yeah, I would say we'd still have to come down to figure out what that underlying problem is that's causing them to fail. And if we can address that problem, I think that a bandage like this could enhance the healing or enhance graft take. But ultimately, what we still need to understand is that underlying wound problem.
And you're...
That's a great idea.
Yeah, you have a relative or maybe your wife who has sort of had a damage from radiation?
Right, yeah. And so I was wondering, and that seems to be the issue as far as the patch not being able to heal, or it heals for a while, and then it lets loose again. So I'm wondering if that would help support that irradiated tissue.
Yeah, I think that would be a great use if we could show some benefit in there. That the radiation wounds are incredibly challenging, and you know, part of it is that those cells are just damaged from that radiation, and so it's really challenging to enhance their healing. This definitely could potentially be an option, but we would have to test it in that patient population.
I'm wondering before we go back to the phones Professor Wong, maybe you can talk about this. What's the cost to manufacture something like this? You know, looking at a standard Band-Aid and your futuristic bandage, and certainly, I'm sure the first one is going to be. First ones were very expensive because you were developing them, so that cost. But getting it up into mass production, what do you think the cost differential would be?
That's a great question. Actually, our goal is to achieve something that is comparable to the over-the-counter Band-Aid type of bandage, because our technology has this potential as a flexible, wearable device that is just using more regular material to generate small electricity. And we can integrate the dressing electrode with a patch that covers the wound. We really hope we can make this technology becomes available and accessible to most people around the world.
Yeah.
Well,
Roy in Freedom has something, a question along those lines, I think. Roy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Yes, I was wondering how this type of technology translates out to the public. Does the university have patent rights, for example, on this, or is it available free to any company that wants to market it? Do you sell it to Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson? How does this come out to the public to be something that's available?
Good question.
Currently, we have one patent that is filed through Wolf, the university. And I believe during the process of our further development towards a human test, and we will probably have more intellectual property to be protected.
Yeah. Anything, comment from you, Angela?
Yeah, and I would say that it's a great question because I think people don't quite appreciate the length of time it takes for discovery on campus here to make it out to our patients. I mean, it can be 20 years because of the funding, challenges that we have to get this initial research going. And then ultimately, we have to show that it's safe before we test it in humans. And that just takes a very long time and a lot of money.
Yeah. Roy, thanks again. I appreciate it. We'll give Tim and Marinette a chance to join in. Tim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thanks. I'm a builder, and a couple years back I was working on a Friday up in some floor joists, and I noticed a skin lesion on the top of my hand. And then it kept getting worse and sore on Saturday, and by Sunday it had grown and got dark. And I went to an urgent care, and they swabbed it, and a couple days later they said I had strep. I couldn't believe it. I thought you could only get strep throat, but they gave me some antibiotics, and it did take care of it. But I was wondering if some kind of a targeted bandage would be able to be effective on something like that.
Wow, that is it. I've learned something new on that one too, Tim. I didn't know you could get strep anywhere else. Maybe Dr. Gibson, you could talk about that and answer his question.
Yeah, strep can be quite a challenging infection if it's not treated right away. So I'm hoping you're doing well. This bandage could absolutely have an effect on it. We just haven't studied it yet with an infected model yet, but absolutely could have a benefit.
So the hope, let me think about the hope on this. The hope on this is that someday I can go to the store and buy a package of these Band-Aids or bandages. Band-Aid, I guess, is that. Probably not the term to use. Bandage, futuristic bandage. And have them at home. And when I get a cut, I can just put it on myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a hope.
We'll have to come up with a catchy name, though.
Well, I'm wondering, I'm sure you've gone through various testing of various materials relating to the bandage. Has there been a lot of change from the first bandage you tried to the what you've got now?
Oh, yes. It has dramatically improved. The first one was out a couple of years ago. So now we're making the bandage that it's more like a real bandage with the patch and the dressing electrode and with the part that harvests generate electricity.
So
and the size, similar to a bandage.
Okay, so it's pretty similar, but the gauze, let's say, that would go over the infected area, that's got to look different.
Yes, I think there's going to be a lot of iterations of the bandage depending on what wound type you were trying to take care of. So I think that would be, that would be kind of our later stages of research and development.
I'm thinking about my aloe vera plant that I break off a piece and put on my paper.
That works too.
Paper cuts. I guess that works too. Well, let's get some others involved here. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. A listener sent an email asking, would this potential work on an anal fissure?
Probably would not treat that condition.
Okay. And Ed asks, is there ability to advance development timeliness for compassionate care? It seems to Ed, and maybe to a lot of us, that it's a low risk. You didn't talk about chemicals being used. Maybe comments from both of you on that. Dr. Wong, Professor Wong, you want to start on that?
Yeah, that's right. I think that's one of the beauty of this technology. It's a physical way to introduce therapeutic effort to the biological systems. So no chemicals, no other things to be involved. Just the electricity that matches what our body usually do, and to facilitate those processes. So we expect that a side effect will be minimal.
Let's go to Steve in Wausau next. Steve, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Larry, thank you for taking the call. I'm not sure why it happens, but every time I'm doing the yard work in the yard at the fall or whatever I'm doing, or just a bad fingernail, and I scratch my eye, and I can see, you know, like where it actually scratched and is red and everything. Yet, all that goes away. It doesn't stay. How does that eyeball heal, and what's wrong with the rest of our skin? I guess that's my question.
Okay, well, Dr. Gibson, what do you think?
Yeah, I could take a stab at this, but I don't do eye healing so much. Yeah, right. So I think, you know, wounds that are in what we call epithelia, or a layer of over an organ. So the eyeball has an epithelial lining. When they're in a moist environment like your eyeball is, and, you know, the epithelial lining in your mouth and other areas of your body, that heals faster than skin, which is more of a dry epithelium. So I think that's probably why you see that healing faster.
And I want to go back to Ed's question a bit too, because I'm not sure we fully addressed it. He wondered about, for compassionate care, seems like a low-risk thing, as he was saying, because there are no chemicals involved.
Yeah, so, you know, this is actually a very a great question right now, because we are trying to figure out how we can move it into full-time human studies as quickly as possible, because I do think that the risk is very low. There's just certain regulations that we have to make sure we're abiding by in order to do that. And one of that is going through the FDA and getting their approval of moving this into human studies. So we're in the works of having those conversations, hopefully in the near future.
Yeah, that's something that I think, you know, a lot of people say, well, let's just go and do it, you know, but there are certain steps and procedures that have to be taken.
Yep, in order to ensure safety of our patients, absolutely.
So in terms of, I'm wondering about the materials themselves, and thinking about mass production of something like this, do you expect, Professor Wong, that knowing that this will are these materials readily available, and I mean something that we have access to, and, you know, could be put into mass production relatively quickly once you kind of have things perfected?
Yes, the short answer is yes. That's the goal. That we are doing materials research. We're trying to use this most accessible, low cost, and biocompatible soft material by treating the surface and make it into a pattern that can be very sensitive to the small motions and to generate electricity based on the small displacement that's sensed.
You can join in too, number 800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Amy in Milwaukee emailed us. Their question is, would the bandage heal or help an internal wound like tendonitis or arthritis?
So the research we're doing right now is just on skin. I know, Dr. Wong, if you want to comment at all, you have some other research going on.
I think that probably we need a different device that can go to inside the body, and we call that implantable devices. We do have some research effort along that way that may be used to respond to different body motions, such as muscle stretching or breathing. So it can also produce electricities. And we believe the general mechanism for the wound healing, doesn't matter if it's outside or inside, they will share similar mechanisms if we can understand those fundamentals together with Dr. Gibson. Then I think that would be possible.
Wow. That's all I can say as well. Hal in Wisconsin Dells, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for the opportunity to join in. My question is in regards to the healing process that you're trying to develop with the electricity. Currently, we've got salves and ointments that we use to, you know, enhance healing or keep tissue moist or whatever the, you know, the benefits are there. Does this product potentially take all of those products off the shelf and make them obsolete?
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it would make them obsolete. I think, you know, we could consider doing things in combination, or they may not be necessary if this bandage is used. I think we're just a little too early to know that for sure.
Thanks very much for that question, Hal. Appreciate it. Jamie in Algoma, we'll go to you. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, I didn't hear the last caller, but I do have another combination question. I had a sternotomy 3 years ago where they cut my breastbone open. And then when I woke up from surgery, there was this steel bandage on the front of me with a vacuum pump attached to it that kept all the air out to induce healing. Would your technique be used in conjunction with that?
It probably wouldn't be necessary. I would say it would be a either or type of bandage, but I don't think you would need to use them in combination.
Oh, there we go. Thank you so much for that question. Appreciate your call. And I would imagine ointments and so forth would get in the way of the bandage itself, so you would not use any kind of ointment over the top, and so you'd have to have some sort of Teflon-like situation, would you not, Dr. Wong, to kind of keep it from sticking to the cut itself or the sore itself?
I think we could still rely on the typical adhesive that regular bandage use to make the device stay on site. Maybe Dr. Gibson can comment on something about the ointment or something. Yeah, I don't think that's a big issue to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think from keeping the wound moist, that's the major important point. And however we can do that, now whether it's having some occlusive type of dressing built in with this dressing to keep the body's own moisture in there, that's one way I could see it working. And we don't know for sure that it doesn't work with other ointments. It may work. We would just have to test that out.
Let's go to Luann in Madison next. Hi, Luann.
Hi. I was wondering, since there's pulsating in the skin, it helps heal. Is the lack of pulsating, like in the enamel of a tooth, like porcelain, does that prevent it from rejuvenating? Like you can't break off a tooth and just put tape on and it will regenerate itself.
Yeah.
It wouldn't...
Yeah, well, that's a good question too, Luann. Thank you. Angela, Dr. Gibson, what about it?
Yeah, so I think you've hit the nail on the head there with if you don't have blood flow to something, it's very hard for things to heal because you need to deliver the nutrients for wound healing and remove the waste products that cells create in healing. And so that blood flow is very important. This technology is actually utilizing that pulsation to set up an electric field that is kind of different than the blood flow going in there. It's just creating these little mini movements, and Dr. Wayne can actually talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So basically, the only thing that we use as an energy source is a physical movement, even it's very small. We use that to produce electricity, using electricity as a stimulation to help the wound to heal. Regarding the blood flow, I think we also have a side project to find out if this electricity can help the blood vessel to develop. That is another good part, that the electricity can help the wound heal by bringing more nutrition towards the site.
So you've been working, and the two of you and others, I'm sure as well, have been involved in this whole process for a few years now. Where are you? where do you think you're going to wind up, and maybe how far along the road will that be?
Yeah, I think it's still going to be a little while because, as I mentioned earlier, with trying to get approval from the FDA to moving this into human patients to really start the testing that I think is incredibly important for developing a bandage that actually could be used on humans. I think that we have to show that it's safe to do that. I think we do have data to suggest that it's safe in humans, but we have to get that approval. And that's a variable that I just don't know. Once you do have approval to use it in humans, then we still have multiple years of testing to show safety and efficacy in humans. So, and then there'll be optimizations once you get to that stage and you show that it works in humans and does well in humans, then optimizing the bandage for use on all these different types of wounds that we mentioned. So we have many years. This is a whole career worth of research.
Good thing you're both are young enough to see this through what a remarkable career it can be to be involved in something as fantastic as this. It's a great example of research that goes on at the University of Wisconsin and universities around the country and the world to make our lives better. And to me, this looks like something that's going to be life-changing for a lot of people. So maybe we can keep up. Maybe you can come back and be with us again down the road here as things develop. I'd love to keep track of this.
That'd be wonderful.
I know our listeners would as well. So again, I thank you so much for being with us, and we'll look forward to another visit from the both of you. Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Professor Xudong Wang, a professor of material science and engineering at UW-Madison, and he's got some other fascinating research done that he's doing as well, and maybe we can talk with him about that on another matter as he talks about energy, harvesting energy from motion. Roadside energy, I think, is one of the terms that they've used. So that's another one we can talk with him about. At any rate, I'm hoping both he and Dr. Angela Gibson, assistant professor of surgery at UW School of Medicine and Public Health, will be back with us and give us an update as things move along, because I'm sure a lot of people would love to see this out sooner than later. There's one thing that people don't love to have, and that's earaches. And why the heck do we have so many of them in the wintertime? And we'll talk with another doctor about that coming up next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.